man must start from a foundation of Jesus as Lord. So I'm just so grateful to be part of that fine organization. Extending again gospel-centered mercy to those who are in need. And maybe just before we get into the sermon, just a quick point, because maybe some of us scratch our heads right now as we look into Japan. And if you think for a moment, I have a friend who I haven't heard from over there. His name's Carl. He's just outside Tokyo, and just haven't heard from him. He's probably busy doing a lot of things. He's actually a treasurer at Tokyo Union Church, but his daytime job, he's works for Goldman and Sachs. But I haven't heard from him. But maybe you're looking at Japan and saying, how can I help? And when you see such devastation that these tsunamis and the earthquakes have brought there in Japan, we realize that relief is the immediate call, that we should be looking for organizations. I mean, you can think of even, International Mission Board, different Southern Baptist organizations, but other organizations that are there, that are there to extend relief. Immediate stop the bleeding relief is necessary right now in Japan. We need to pray for that, and we need to think about how we might give to that. I would ask right now, if you had a choice between giving to Jeff Street and sending something to a worthwhile organization over there, send it there. There's people that need relief right this minute. I mean, just absolute devastation. Because then when you come into a compare like a Jeff Street, there's no question there's need. Homelessness is a reality, whether it's brought on by an individual's choices or maybe the loss of a job or something like that, divorce, things like that. We realize there's still need, but we also understand that this is different than this at times. And it's helpful to categorize when we have something that's relief and maybe a rehabilitation category, recovery category, where the bleeding has stopped, but still there's something that we need to do. Japan, relief, absolutely, essentially necessary right now. Jeff Street, we can think of rehabilitation, recovery, restoration, redemption. And then, being that we want Jeff Street just to be this temporary place for individuals to find and meet the local church, we pray that the development aspect, or that which comes after the rehabilitation, takes place here. In the Vine Streets and all the multiple other congregations that are here in Louisville, that are in Kentucky, that are to the end of the earth. Because friends, whether we believe it or not, God has equipped the church with everything it needs to meet the need of all those around us. We aren't for want here. We have the power of the cross. The glory of the cross works itself out in the daily relationships that as we engage in individual lives, one with another. So, I just want to thank you for having the opportunity to be here. I brought my youngest son last Saturday to the men's breakfast and was able to speak to the men, and it was a blessing for us. Right now, the reason my family isn't with today, on Wednesday of this past week, we brought my mother home from Cardinal Hill Rehabilitation Center. My mother's 80. She fell at the end of January and had a brain hemorrhage. And she had been living on her own. And we had thought we were going to have about a 100-day window to think about what we wanted to do next. And we just got to praying, and the Lord spoke to both my wife and I in a very tangible way, saying, you know what, this is our responsibility. So we brought her home on Wednesday, and I've been called everything from, kids, you might want to close your ears this week, I've been called everything from butt face to, other things that I can't share. But, and it reminds me that the Lord is using this for both Dawn and I, for my family, for our sanctification, for our growth in grace. And so I haven't had much sleep. I've had a lot of time to pray, a lot of time to deal with the flesh, that comes out in these situations. But anyway, I'd say all that to say again, just thanks and just ask for prayer. We're going to be in the book of James today, or the letter of James. And if you could, turn to James chapter 1. I have the English Standard Version. NIV, Pullman Christian, those are all fine translations. If you want to put a title over the sermon today, if you want a negative one, you could put empty religion, doing without being. Empty religion, doing without being, an example of how not to alleviate poverty. But if you're one who's prone to glumness, maybe we might want to turn it around and put a happy title or a positive title, true religion, being and doing, or being that leads to doing, an example of how to alleviate poverty. So there we go. You choose your sermon title choice. All right. Well, as you read the Bible, as you read through it, you just cannot come to the conclusion that God somehow chooses people based upon their high intellect, their wealth, or social status. I am a case in point. Again, those who get to know me will say, yeah, clearly not the case. Yes, my wife, my children. But what we see in the Bible, there is the reality that confronts us, is that God chooses the poor. He chooses the broken. He chooses the outcast and the marginalized. He chooses the messy and the miscreant. God does this in order to show us that salvation is all of grace. All of grace. It's important to highlight this reality as we turn to James's letter, because if not, what we'll do is we'll fall into the very traps that James is warning us against. Friends, justification by faith alone in Christ alone, because of God's grace alone, must always be central in our lives so as not to slip into a messy, convoluted religion or religiosity that may give this outward appearance, this veneer of faith and piety, but lack the necessary change or regeneration of heart that leads to true religion. And don't get scared about the word religion, right? Nothing wrong with religion. I mean, the word's here in James. We'll see it. Don't get scared about it. It has some negative connotations, but all we're talking about is an outward manifestation of inward convictions. Outward manifestation of inward convictions. For the Christian believer, we hope as we go through this passage that we see it leads to mercy. As we think about in 26 and 27 there, where the call is to meet the needs of widows and orphans. The knowledge, or the letter of James provides us with knowledge and examples of how faith does and does not work, and how it should and should not be lived out. He confronts us, James does, with our daily living, and he challenges us with how Christians are to live and not be consumed by the sins of the world and the sins of our own heart. We know the results of living in a sin-cursed world. It shouldn't be surprising to us. Doubt, greed, worry, fear, prejudice, gossip, slander, worldliness. However, while such living may be understandable for the world, it ought to shock us. In fact, it is shocking to see how many who name the name of Christ, who say Jesus is Lord, identifying him as Savior, are still identified by such practices. Here I'm not talking about the one act, right? And this is where I've had to be careful with my own children. My children, I have my oldest son, Wynn, is 16. My daughter, Joelle, is 12. And my youngest son, Nathaniel, is 7. My lovely wife, Dawn, married 17 years, 18 years in May. Just delighted. But my children lie at times. And I need to be careful as a parent that I don't define them and say, you are a liar, because they've You are a liar is identifying themselves, or identifying them, saying, this is who you are. No, I say, I can say on the other hand, you are lying. This is the difference we want to get look at today a little bit, about identity, about who we are. If we name the name of Christ, again, looking back to the world and thinking about these practices and again then seeing it within the church, we should be rather shocked, but realize that there's only one place to turn. That's the one true and living God, who's not really concerned about justification, but also sanctification. The same one who saves is also the same one who said, "Be holy, for I'm holy." And if he says that, he must provide the way for holiness. Friends, we are in need of God's revealed word to convey and demonstrate to us how we ought to live within a context that is our world, that is diametrically opposed to faithful living. Diametrically opposed to faithful living, right? We can think about the institution of marriage, how it's dissolved, and the divorce rates are skyrocketing. You know, what's interesting, I was listening to the radio, and they said, we know that we're coming out of the tough economic times. And one of the determiners, they said, was more people are getting divorced. Think about that for a moment, okay? And their argument was, well, what happens is during tough economic times, nobody can afford to get divorced. Or they actually have sympathy for the spouse who they don't really care about too much, but at least have sympathy that if there's a divorce that they might be even on harder times. So think about that. Our world doesn't care about faithful living. But God, through James, counsels us, I mean the church, us, with the need for a living and growing faith demonstrated through action. A living and growing faith demonstrated through action. That is to say, God, or James, and ultimately God, presents a fact that a faith that does not express itself in action is not real faith. And a religion that serves only oneself is dead and empty. James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. God, may you add blessing to your word. There's always an appropriate faith-filled response to the word of God. There's no question about that. As James calls individuals to be doers of the word, the question becomes, what does a doer look like? In other words, how can a Christian do the word? Well, it's obvious from our text that it's not merely one who hears the word. Right? While it should be obvious, I'm not going to presume or assume anything here this morning. I don't know. I've met a few of you, know Ben a little bit, but I'm not going to assume anything here this morning. But truth be told, this Sunday morning, as we gather, as you come to hear the word preached, let's be careful here. I don't want to distort God's word. But can we count that as actual doing? Possibly, if you want to say, well, I'm thinking through Hebrews chapter 10, where the call is to not forsake the assembly of ourselves. Yeah, there's no question. There's a doing there. But just the hearing, the reception of the word is not enough. That hearing ought to lead us to action. We should, as individuals, be content as we receive the word, as you receive it from Pastor Ben, to close our Bibles on a Sunday or on a Wednesday and never our lives cross, never our paths meet during the rest of those days. We shouldn't be content. Can we say we've truly done the word if our Sunday gatherings are our only time of fellowship? Or can we, throughout the week, as the church, and I'm putting this on Vine Street, find ways in which we might speak into one another's lives as a response, as a proper response to what you're hearing on Sundays, on Wednesdays, as you're getting together in one-on-one, as you're gathering for small groups or however. Doing the word. Hearing the word that leads to doing. There may be others here who are doers but not hearers. This is probably where most of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ falls these days. It seems to be the most prevalent discussion when we hear talks of social justice, of poverty alleviation, of tolerance, green initiatives, all of these things, which for the most part, when properly thought through, can and must be wonderful points of action. But they must be driven by a foundation that stems from the cross of Christ. Again, the gospel is simple, but it's not simplistic. You see, if we're void of a foundation of God's truth, of the reality of the gospel, the practices of these things, of poverty, of alleviation, of social justice, they're just pious acts of self-justification. So in other words, what we want to avoid is the reality of a Christian or a so-called Christian who does, but is not. Or who does the action without the identity. And if you remember anything today, just remember that. Identity, that is who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, will always lead you to action. Identity before action. Identity leading to action. Don't get this reversed. Don't get those reversed. A Christian in being should be driven to doing as they are confronted by God through His Word. So, what we want to conclude is that a doer of the Word is one who hears and acts as he looks away from himself and responds to the grace that has occurred and is continuing to occur in his or her life. Isn't that what James is saying in verses 22-24? Anyone's a hearer of the Word, not a doer. He's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he looks like. And we need to avoid the doing that's just marked by an event. If the South Florida group came and said, here I am, I've been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been declared righteous because of the finished and completed work of Christ applied to my life by the Holy Spirit. This is who I am. I am a Christian. And now I'm looking at this event here at Jeff Street as something to say, yep, there is my good one. Got that checked off. Instead of this approach, I have been justified by faith in Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And as one who has been changed, as one who is in union with Christ, as one who has a new identity, I can't think of anything greater than I want to do is live my life for God and for someone else. Because life before this point in time has been about me. But now God has shown me that it's not about me. It's about His glory. And how is it that God is glorified? I mean, is it through just our private acts of prayer? Our private study of His Word? No. How do we love God? I mean, think about that for a moment. How do we love God? I can say I love Him. But if I say I love my wife, but then go and commit adultery on her? My words mean nothing. If I write her a letter and say, I love you, but then, I'm out carousing. Empty words. If I say, I love my wife, and it's really, truly fact, actions will follow the words. Right? And so it is in the Christian's life. The doer of the word is one who hears and acts as he looks away from himself and responds to the grace that is occurring in their life. Not marked by an event. Doing is a result of being. There's another you just want to cling to. Doing is a result of being. Doing is a result of being one who's been saved by grace, restored to a right standing in relationship with the Creator, and thus able to live as a reflection of His glory as an appropriate only response to mercy and grace. Let's think about this for a moment. Let's set up the scene from verses 22 through 25. Been using a majority of masculine pronouns to this point, so as not to offend you ladies out there today, let's switch gears. We're going to just turn the text without distorting it in any way. Picture, instead of the man in front of the mirror, we're going to picture a woman in front of the mirror, okay? For many of us, it's not too far-fetched. Oh, I said I wasn't going to turn, but not too far-fetched. But imagine this lady staring intently in the mirror, okay? Staring intently. And she's doing it to try and figure out who she is. I see. And what she ends up seeing is, okay, and outward appearance. And then the next thing